Good morning, everyone. It's certainly a lovely morning to be able to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But of course, we could have been coming from a very different type of morning. Just because the sun's shining, it doesn't mean we're having a glorious morning or have had a glorious week. But we pray as we come to worship God together that that will change for you. You will know God's presence as we worship, and you will take that presence with you as we leave here this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are very welcome this morning. I do know we have one set of visitors, our good friends all the way from Ballywatt. Ballywatt? Ballywhere? It's up near Portrush. That's all you need to know. So they have a lovely drive down this morning. I see some other, I don't want to say strangers, but there's some strange faces down here. So you're very welcome too, wherever you're from. We do trust you'll come and join us all for a cuppa after the service, round in solid ground, where we will meet with the people who are around there meeting for church this morning. So it's quite exciting. We had a number of people who were at church last week who had not been at church for a while or who are exploring church. So we pray that that continues today. And we have another Sunday of Cafe Church next week. So continue to pray and ask folks if they want to come. You never know. If they just come for one Sunday, it might just start the ball rolling for them. After the service this morning, I want to ask the session just to meet for a few minutes with Barry in the minister's room. We just have a little bit of business to take care of there. Your announcement sheet's been made available to you, and you'll notice inside it this week we've got our tap update, so please take that and use that as a daily prayer guide as we pray for the church, the community, and the world around us. There's a few things on the announcement sheet that I want to highlight, and a couple that are additional. Wednesday night, discipleship groups will be meeting, and we'll be discussing the sermon today, the topic today, what is a Christian? So we encourage you to come along to that if your group's still running. Now, we had planned a barbecue on the 29th. We've now cancelled that. Oh. But we've moved it to the 15th. Yay. So if you're involved in discipleship groups, we like to do together events so that all the members of all the different groups can all come together and see who's who. Next week, we'll have a little list out there. If you're coming, just so that we can order enough burgers, so that nobody goes without. So next week, just look for that little sheet in the vestibule. Put the date in your diary, 15th of June, to meet together. Thursday night, we had our first rehearsal for the men's choir, and it went really well. There were some of you men conspicuous by your absence. Some of you have been approached. The others will be approached today, so duck and dive round your cup of coffee, because I will be on the prowl, and so will Graham. You've been here before, and we need you again. It's a really lovely piece, and it really came together quite well and quite quickly, frighteningly. But we need some more men to come along and just join in on that. So I'll be looking for you today. We did have a fundraiser a little while ago for Laura, who's going to India. She wants to say a big thank you to everyone who helped out in any way, setting up, preparing food, serving the food, tidying up. And for you for coming, and the grand total that has been raised there was £560. So that's fantastic. So thank you very, very much, folks. And we also like to raise funds for not just Christian organizations. And we do have an organization that we have a really strong connection with, and that's the Peninsula First Responders. These are the people who, if you're having a heart attack, will be at your door before the ambulance is. So this is a very, very important service. And we have a number of people in our congregation who are trained and who work with the first responders, and they're doing a sponsored walk next Saturday. They're walking around all the villages in the peninsula. It's quite an undertaking. So Vicky's the contact for us, Vicky Mitchell, and if you would like to sponsor them, then see Vicky after the service, and she will happily take your sponsorship. Very, very important work, voluntary basis, and depends on its own funding as well. So that's a very, very worthwhile organization for us to be supporting. We're also supporting people across the world, and we are building our partnership with Croatia, and our Croatian team are having their clean cars and coffee for Croatia. Lots of C's in that sentence. When they go in July, they're having a coffee morning and a car wash on the 11th of June. Now, if you would like to help out there, if you would like to be involved in washing cars or providing some tray bags, please speak to Norman or Mark, and they'll happily take your name down, if you can see them today. we do a lot of catering in the church, and lots of our organizations are involved in working in the kitchen. And it's been 3 years since we've been trained in our food hygiene. So there's a refresher course going to be happening on the 13th of June. It's really important that if your organization works in the kitchen at all, or if you help out in any way with any of the catering, that you come to that. Please make that date available, the 13th of June. It's in your announcement sheet there. And this is the utmost importance, folks. It's the same as our fire safety training and making this building safe and comfortable for everyone who comes through the door. And the fire safety training as well is on the 5th of September. Now, that date might seem very far away, but we would like you to get it in your diary now, so if anybody comes looking at your time on that night, you will be busy coming to that training as well. And of course, this is the month where we collect for our Building for the Future Fund. And that collection, we would love to put that all together now at the end of the month. We did have some spaces for a trip to see the rugby. And I was to have the tickets ordered this week, but I just didn't get around to it. So if you would still like to go see me today, there is still room. We want to say this morning a big thank you to McAvoy's for supplying a bus for us to go on this men's trip. And on the night, we will take a collection, and your donation will go towards the building fund on the night. But I'm going to order those tickets this week. Get me your name today, and then next week, need the money. That would be great. So you know, if you're an adult or if you're a junior, if you could bring that money next week, that would be fantastic. And then many of you will know, and some of you won't know, a man by the name of Paul Orr. Small in stature, but big in character. Paul and I trained together. Paul's a member of this congregation. He hasn't been here for a number of years because he's been still seeking a church. Well, Paul has now got a church. He has been called to Albert Bridge Congregational Church, and he will be installed and inducted on the 24th of June at 7 p.m., and there will be supper and all the rest of it after the service. And again, next week, to help the congregation with their preparations for that, there'll be a little sheet. If you would like to travel up to join with Paul as he takes on the leadership and the ministry of a congregation, if you would like to join with him and share in that experience, then please put your name down and we can let the folks know that you're coming. That is all by way of announcement. We come to worship God. The psalmist writes, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and with song." We're going to stand now, and with music and with song, we're going to sing praises to the Lion of Judah, the Lamb who was slain. We're discussing today, and we're going to be exploring today, what it means to be a Christian. And without the meaning behind this song, we could not be Christians. So let's all stand together and sing, "You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain."
Gather the nations before you.
Let's come before now, before God now in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Lord, there is none like you. There is but one God, our Father, who reigns in heaven. And Lord, we thank you that that greatness which is in its totality beyond our comprehension, the size of this universe, your dominion over it, the fact that you created things that we have not yet seen, you made things that we do not understand. But Lord, we thank you that you've made parts of it understandable for us. Lord, you've made parts of your great plan very, very simple. And Lord, even in the simplicity of the message that you want to send to us all today, gathered in this place, the message that Jesus died and rose again for us, that very simple message, Lord, falls on ears that are deaf, on hearts that are hard. And Lord, we pray for your word today, that it would go through those deaf ears, that it would penetrate, as it says, as a double-edged sword into the hardest of hearts, that people would know that you reign. And Lord, for those hearts that have been pierced, for those hearts that know you and love you, we know that those hearts, Lord, don't always follow you, don't always live according to the simple message that you have given us, to always rely on you, to live according to your pattern, living according to your commands. So Lord, we ask today that you would accept our apologies as we repent of the things that we know we have done wrong. Lord, the things that we are planning to do that are not according to your will, steer us, Lord. Correct us. Lead us and guide us today, Lord, in this very place. As we sing and pray and read your word together, we ask that you would speak to us of things beyond our comprehension, but yet, Lord, you can reveal them to us one little step at a time. So, Lord, may we know the next step on our journey with you today. May this place of worship, Lord, resound to your glory. We thank you for it. We thank you for the people gathered here today. We thank you for the people who are serving here today, from the welcome at the door to the cup of tea after the service and everything in between. We thank you, Lord, for the ministries of this church. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are going to serve in the summer, whether here locally, as part of the week-long team or part of our Holiday Bible Club, or those who are going to India or Romania or Croatia or wherever. We thank you for them, Lord, and we pray today will be another day of preparation for that onward journey. We thank you too, Lord, that you prepare journeys for us, even from a young age. And for our P7 pupils today, Lord, we thank you that you've revealed the next step of the journey for them to the big school, the secondary school, the grammar school, wherever that school is, Lord. We just pray today that they will be filled with the knowledge that you go with them, wherever they go. So, Lord, we just pray for them today. And, Lord, we thank you that we have everything that we need here to worship you. And we pray today that that is what we will do, that you will supply us with your Holy Spirit. You tell us where two or three are gathered, then you are there. So Lord, we know you are with us today. And we ask for that leading and guiding in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, sometimes I do this looking up at the night sky, and it's not very often possible in Northern Ireland because the night sky is a bit cloudy. But when you look up and see those stars in the sky, and you think of some of the programs that are on television that tell you how far away these little white dots are, and whenever those telescopes that are floating around in space and they're sending these images back of these wonderful galaxies, and you just look at it and you think, that couldn't be by accident. Paul tells us that all creation declares the glory of God. And that's what we're going to do now, as part of God's creation. With all of creation, parts of it that we've never even seen, we're going to sing to the glory of God. All heaven declares the glory of our risen Lord. Let's all stand together singing to the praises of Almighty God. We're going to be reading from John's letter, the letter of 1 John. You'll find it on page 1228 in the Pew Bible, reading from chapter 5. This is the John who wrote John's Gospel, and these are just little letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that he wrote for the benefit of churches, of Christians who were gathered around. And these letters were circulated, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago when we looked at what the Bible was. This was one of these letters that was circulated and found to be and believed to be the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, relevant for today, for that day, and for today. So let's read it together, asking God to speak right into our lives. Reading from verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which He has given us about His Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read His word together. We're going to sing with the boys and girls now their song, Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do. And when this is over, the song is over, the boys and girls will leave for creche and the madhouse. Let's all stand together, singing to the glory of God.
Father, I place into your hands the things that I can do. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. For I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. For I know I always can trust you.
To continue to worship God now as we give of our tithes and our offerings, your offering will now be received.
Thank you. Let's come before God now in prayer. Let's all pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this great day. This is the day that you have given us. And an appropriate response for us is to give you back something, a portion that you have given to us. So Lord, we rejoice in this opportunity to give an offering, a financial offering. And we pray, Lord, that every penny in these plates will glorify you. We pray, Lord, that every heart has given it for that purpose, to see your kingdom expanded into the lives of those that we know and love, and into the lives of people we have never met and may never meet until we meet in that great day when you make all things new. Until then, Lord, we pray that you would keep us faithful for your purposes and for your cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are asking the question today, what is a Christian? I don't know if you've been following over the last few weeks, but we started off with what is the Bible? So we talked about the Bible and the Bible's big story. The big story in the Bible, Jesus did something. So last week we looked at what did Jesus do? He died for our sins. He took the place on the cross, taking the punishment our sins deserved. And when we acknowledge that, and when we accept him as our own personal savior, we become a Christian. So what is a Christian? It's a label, and the world is full of labels today. Some are going to come up on the screen in a moment. Here we go. The question is, what is a Christian, and what are labels? Well, there's a label, and I'm sure if we didn't have Adidas, as the Americans say, or as we say, Adidas on the bottom of it, we would realize the logo. There are other ones. If you saw that tick and didn't have Nike on it, you would know that it's Nike. Here's one here that we've all got to know in a very big way this year. Leicester Football Club. The Foxes. Who would have ever thought you would have realised or recognised that this time last year? We know this one. I see people wearing this on hats, on baseball caps. This is the New York Yankees. I'm sure you recognise it. People who have never seen a baseball game or maybe wouldn't even know what the New York Yankees are, would wear this because it's a brand. It's a logo. Not only sports teams, but fashion. I'm sure we would recognize the Rolex. Just look at my wrist any evening and you'll not see it. Dolce and Gabbana. They do lots of fancy stuff that I know nothing about either, but I know that logo. I know who the company is. Levi's. Maybe an older one. All of us over 40s remember the Levi's days, man, don't we? They just maybe don't do those sizes anymore. A bit tighter, the old Levi's. And ladies, L'Oreal, because you're worth it. You're all worth it, ladies. There you go. But it's not just these outfits that have their logos. We have our own logo. You'll recognize that. It's everywhere. If you haven't recognized it, you haven't had your eyes open. It's everywhere. It's all our pieces of paper. That's our Trinity logo. But as Christians, we have logos as well. We have this label. We have things that identify us. People wear crosses. They tattoo them on their arms. They take this logo even when they don't really know what it means, but it's become a logo not just because Jesus died on the cross, but it's a symbol of hope for some people. We wear logos on our wrists. What would Jesus do? Frog, fully rely on God. Push, pray until something happens. When you see someone with that bracelet on, you know that there's probably a faith there. They wouldn't be wearing it otherwise. And then we've got this symbol, the symbol of the fish. Many people put that symbol on the back of their car. It will never appear on the back of my car. Because when I'm driving, I do not want to be identified as a Christian because my driving does not always reflect the love of the Lord. I was driving on Friday with my collar on and I realized that people would see the collar and I had to sort of behave myself. But we wear these logos. We wear these trinkets. But honestly, the Christian faith is much more than just a logo. It's much more than just a label. It's much more than something we wear. It is a name. It was a name that was given to a group of people for the first time recorded in Acts chapter 11 in a place called Antioch. One of the places where the earliest disciples were going around.
teaching about Jesus and what he has done. They were writing letters to one another and reading them to one another. We've now got them as the Bible. And this is what they say about this group of people as they met in Antioch. Two of those missionaries were Paul and Barnabas. Well, Paul was still called Saul at this stage. They met with the church and they taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The first time the name appears in the Bible. It's mentioned a few other times. These were a group of people who followed a certain teacher. Other teachers, their followers were called something similar. But these people followed Jesus Christ, his teachings, his way of life, and they were called Christians. They had a certain character that was different from everybody else. They created communities called churches, and that's what we'll look at next week, God willing. They lived together in this bond, this special bond that other people didn't have, but they invited other people into it, and people called them Christians. Look at those Christians, they would have said. We still do this today. We still look at people or look at groups of people and we give them a label. We give them a label depending on the clothes they wear. We give them a label depending on how they act. If they're wearing hoodies, for example, we mistrust them as a group of people. We label them because of their clothes. I wear a hoodie, so hopefully if you see me in a hoodie around Grey Abbey, you won't label me in any particular way. We label people because of where they live. We label them because of their particular lifestyle. But Christianity, to be a Christian, the word Christian is much more than a label, a logo, or a lifestyle. But there is a core belief. There is a foundational belief to being a Christian. And we find it here in the passage that we read today. And I would invite you now to open up your Bible with me. And if you're in solid ground, I want to say hello to you. For the folks who are new with us, there's a camera just in the middle. And there's people out in solid ground who are watching the service, or this part of the service. So I'd invite you to turn with me as well. And the Bible's there to page 1228. John's letter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. It says this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. A Christian is someone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior. In verse 5, it says that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. He came from God to do the job that the Bible said he was going to do. In verse 13, we're told that Jesus is the bringer, the giver of eternal life. Christians believe these things. Last week we called Jesus a hero because he went to the cross and he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He took the punishment. He stood and he took it all. We couldn't share in that with him at all. We couldn't. He was perfect, so he could stand there and take that punishment on our behalf. But he went toe to toe with death. And he conquered death. He defeated death. Yes, he died, but he rose again, opening the door to eternal life. The passage we closed the service with last week said this, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. We were all sinful because Adam sinned. Jesus sorted that, but we can be alive because of Christ. And this is the part we can share in. We couldn't share in the paying for sin part, but we can share in the death defeating part. But the question we had at the end of the service last week was, well, Christians still die, and that's true. But being a Christian, having this label, there's two elements to it. There's a physical element, and there's a spiritual element, and we'll get to those in a minute or two. But I want to still just focus on this core foundational belief. You see, I believe that Leicester are the best side in the English Premiership. I believe that because they played the same games as everybody else and they had more points at the end of the season and they lifted the trophy. I believe that. But am I a believer in Leicester Football Club? No, I am not. I am a believer in Liverpool Football Club. I believe a better day is ahead of us. You You see, there's people who believe that God exists. They believe the Bible to be 99% historically accurate. They believe that a man, Jesus, lived and died and somehow he rose again. And then he disappeared. There's people who believe that. But just believing it doesn't make you a Christian. To be a Christian, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ with all your heart. You have to have faith that God exists. Even though you can't get your head around all that he has done, all that he can do, you can't get your head around perfection. You can't contemplate eternity. Even though you can't contemplate those things, you still have faith that God exists. You still trust in this big story of his, how he's fixing this broken place that he created. You can't see him. You can't go and visit him. You can't point to him. You can't touch him. But you know he exists. And you know that you are part of his big story. And to be a Christian, to believe that Jesus is the Christ and to believe it in your heart is to know that you have a share in eternal life. But how can we be sure of this? Last week, we asked about what Jesus did. Why did he have to die? And this is the little book that we had, and I forgot to announce them last week. They are out in solid ground today for you to take with you. Jesus died so that we could be sure of this. We can also be sure because of the little book we've got for this week. A lovely little section in there in chapter 3. How can I be sure that I am a Christian? God wants you to be sure, and he wants you to be sure of this today. We've looked at this big story of his that he is playing out before our very eyes that we are part of. We said that God was the main character in this story. Jesus was the central character and is the central character in the story. And we said there was another character, and that other character is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the everywhere character. His purpose is to be everywhere, all the time. That's who our God is. He's a Trinitarian God. We are Trinity Presbyterian Church. That's what the link is. We believe that God is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, equally one person. We can't get our head around that. It doesn't work in mathematical terms. But we've got to trust that this is how God exists. He exists as our Heavenly Father, the Creator. Jesus, co-creator and Savior. Holy Spirit, the power behind creation, and the one who is with us all the time. This Spirit is mentioned in our Bible reading today in verse 6. He is the Spirit who testifies the truth. His testimony is truth. But what does his testimony do? What does this Holy Spirit say? Well, according to John's Gospel, Jesus tells us that the Spirit convicts us. So if you're walking with the Lord, if you're a Christian, you remember one time when you weren't a Christian, and you remember that journey. You knew there was something missing in your life. You knew there had to be something more to life. You were worried about what happened when you died, and all of these questions were coming up in your mind, and all of a sudden, voices, conversations, things you read, things you heard on TV all started to point to something. That is the Holy Spirit convicting you. Maybe the Holy Spirit's doing that work today. Telling you that you are separated from God because of sin. Telling you that you are a sinner. But the Holy Spirit in this conversation then becomes the revealer. And that's what John tells the people here in this letter, 1 John chapter 4. The Spirit that testifies that Jesus is the Christ is from God. He reveals Jesus to you. So in one sense, you get into your mind that you are alone, that you will be alone for all eternity, that you're separated from God, but there's a solution. Jesus is the solution, and the Holy Spirit reveals that solution to you. He tells you what Jesus Christ did for you, why he had to die. He died for you. The Holy Spirit convicts and reveals, and when you believe, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And in that process of believing, in that process, you get to that point where you confess this situation that you're in. It's been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, and you say, God, I realize this, I believe it, I know you exist, and I know I am separated from you. I am a sinner. And I realize that sin separates us. But in that process, you acknowledge that Jesus is the one and only solution. There is no other way. You can't do it by yourself. And you realize in your life's journey that if God's over here, you're going this way towards sin, being separated from God. And then you repent. You repent. You turn around and you go towards God. You say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to be on this journey going towards God, to be with God for all eternity. And when that happens, you receive the Holy Spirit and he dwells within you. Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians. He anointed us. Now, the word anointing means to pour. They anointed people with oil. They poured oil out over them. And this is what God has done. He has poured out his Holy Spirit. He has set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. When this transaction happens, when the Spirit testifies the truth to you, and then when the Spirit dwells within you, you belong to God. You are in relationship with God. You are sealed for all eternity. And just the way Paul said that the Spirit comes into your heart, John agrees with him here in verse 10. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. The Holy Spirit is the testimony. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart. Now, when we think of heart, when we think of a heart, what is linked to heart? What emotion is linked when we say heart? Need a clue? Valentine's Day. And all the men goes, oh yes, love. Of course it's love. When a heart, when there's something that's a heart issue, it becomes a love issue. Chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 7 says this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. I want to illustrate it to you this way. The first time I clocked eyes on Ruth, I didn't love her. I fancied her, but I didn't love her. But I remember that moment when the penny dropped. I remember that moment when I realized I was in love with her. I remember the first time I told her that I loved her. And that changed our relationship. You see, you can believe that God exists. But if it's not in here, if you don't love him, if you don't feel that difference in your heart, then there's something wrong. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God. Do you love God? Are you thankful for Jesus? If the answer is yes and yes, then friend, you are a Christian. That's how you can be sure you are a Christian. But it doesn't stop there. Being a Christian is something within us. It's primarily this heart issue, this love of Almighty God and believing that he exists and knowing what he has done for us. But that works out in our lives practically. It works out in a Christian lifestyle. And the first community of believers were called Christians because of their lifestyle, because people saw them doing certain things, heard them saying certain things. And that's what verse 2 says. We should be carrying out God's commands. If we love him, we will carry out his commands. And we don't carry out these commands because God says, go and do this, and you should do this, and you have to do this. Of course, there are all of those things in Scripture that we have to do, and God wants us to do them. But we do them because we're thankful. We're doing them because he has placed a love in our heart that we want it to overflow to other people. Now, there's one reference, one place where you can go that will sum up Christian living. Now, are you ready? If you've got a pen, get ready to write this one place down where you can go and find it out. Are you ready? You look excited? This one place where you can find out what it means to live a Christian lifestyle is called the New Testament. Yes, all the way from Matthew right through to Revelation. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of chapters. That's a lot of verses. That's a lot of letters. And friends, I wish there was some shortcut that I could just say this morning, Christian lifestyle, this is it. There is no shortcut. Yes, all of Scripture tells us how to live as Christians, but primarily, it is the New Testament. It's a lifelong process of reading and developing, seeing it in your life. But how do you do that? How do you recognize it? There are some basic little markers that I'm going to fly through very quickly. There should be a change in your life. When you become a Christian, if you are a Christian, you realize you're in a constant process of now not going towards sin, but turning from sin and going towards God. You know that things that you used to do, you realize they're wrong and they don't please God. So you turn away from those things and you turn towards things that please God. The Spirit is in you, and the fruit of the Spirit is described as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this is one singular fruit. You can't read this list in Galatians 5 and say, well, I'm good at most of them, so that'll do. No, as a Christian, you should become more loving. You should become more joyous. You should become more peaceful, more patient, kinder, gooder. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean. Faithful-er, gentler, and more self-controlled. Do you see that in your life? Are you still as miserable and bad-tempered as you were before you call yourself a Christian? Because if you are, then there's maybe something wrong. But you know, even as Christians, we don't get this right all the time. We are still not perfect. There are some days that we're not that loving or joyful or patient. We are no longer bound by sin, but we're still affected by it. Jesus has defeated it, but we live in this world where sin exists, so we are still affected by it, and we still struggle with it. Paul writes in Romans about his struggle with sin. But he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been defeated, but yet it affects us. And as you live this life, something strange really happens. Because as we live a life of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, etc., people will oppose us because of that. Now, I can't get my head around that. But really, I can. Because as we try to live this good life and treat people with respect, everything that we do for the glory of God is opposed by Satan. He is in the world. He affects every person in the world. If you are a Christian, if you have the love of God in your heart, he has no mastery over you. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then you are controlled by Satan. And you will find yourself opposing all sorts of things that you realize maybe later on you shouldn't have been opposing. He is opposed to everything to do with God. John has told the Christians that there will be suffering. Peter tells us that there will be suffering. Peter writes this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." He says, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." He says, "If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." As a Christian, Satan opposes everything that you do, and you may suffer because of that. We have to live according to the commands of God, we were told here in the first two verses. But look at verse 3. "This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome." Yes, it will be tough. Our Christian life is not a bed of roses, but it's not burdensome because God is with us all the time. As a Christian, the verse that we read in Matthew 28, "Surely I am with you always." That is your verse. You can apply that verse to your life. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, "It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ." So when you need to stand firm, you can stand firm because God is with you. He tells the Philippian church that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. God has begun the good work. God has saved you. God has set you aside. He has anointed you. He has sealed you. And he will carry you all the way through to the end. The end of our time here in this world. And we may suffer in this world, and we may struggle in this world, but there's a lovely verse that we should remember, and I would like you to look at it with me now. And that's 1 John chapter 4. It should be in the same page of your Bible, verse 4. And as a Christian, this is something that we need to remember. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. The them in that passage is other spirits, spirits not of God. You have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The spirit that is in you as a Christian is greater, is stronger, is more knowledgeable than the one who is in the world. As Christians, we have overcome the world. We're still in it, but we've overcome the sinful effects in it. This gives your life purpose. You have the love of the Lord and the presence of the Lord in your life. And what you should have a desire to be as a Christian, a marker as a Christian, recognizing Christianity in your life, is do you have a passion to share that love with other people? Do you want to see that the people that you know and love coming into this relationship with Almighty God? Jesus tells us, let your light shine before men. May they see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Peter tells the church, live good lives among the pagans. And even though they accuse you of doing wrong, even though living out your life full of the Spirit becomes unpopular, keep at it, because they will see your good deeds and glorify God. The great commandment of Jesus is to go and make disciples of other nations, teaching them obedience just the way you live in obedience in this love relationship with Him. Those are just some of the markers of a Christian life. Now, I hope this morning you're not sitting going, well, I've got that one, I haven't got that one, I might have this one, I'm better at that one, because all of these markers, folks, fluctuate. Some days we will feel stronger, and other days we will feel weaker. We will be better at some of these elements than other people are. We are all different. But don't let this fluctuating nature allow Satan to whisper little things into your ear. Because he will whisper into your ear, you're not good enough. Sure, you're weak. You're worthless. Does God really want you? Would Jesus really die for you? You see, what he can't do is take your relationship away. Jesus made that possible. Jesus is stronger than he is. He cannot undo what Jesus has done. But he will try to make you a duller, less powerful. You know, even the old torch there is dimming out. He wants you to be a dim light, not shining a bright light, not sharing this love that you have for God with other people. He doesn't want you drawing other people to Jesus. These are some of the markers that we have for our life here on earth. But is that what it's all about? Is that what a Christian is being about? Just to know this stuff and believe it in all your heart. What about this dying malarkey? What happens when we die? Well, as a Christian, you are saved by the grace of God, saved from an eternity away from God. You are a saved person. And as a saved person, as a Christian, you should have the assurance of eternal life. Yes, we will physically die, and these bodies are merely physical. But there's something else within each of your bodies. Every body in this building today has a spiritual element, a soul. Not everybody has the Spirit of God, however. And these physical bodies, friends, are only vessels. They will run out. They will expire. And when they expire, the soul is separated from the physical body. And the soul goes one of two directions. In verse 11, John writes, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is not the only verse where we get this assurance in the Bible. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, I tell you the solemn truth. The one who hears my message and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but has crossed over from death to life. So even here now today, me as a believer, I have begun the journey of crossing over from this eternal separation to this eternal life. And if you are a Christian, you have already begun that journey. Paul tells the Roman church there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for those who are truly Christians. He tells the church in Ephesus, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not from yourselves. You didn't do it. Jesus did it all. So what is a Christian? A Christian is a person who believes in their heart that Jesus Christ died for them. A Christian is a person who knows in their heart that God loves them and that they love God. And they have a desire to share that love with other people. A Christian is a person who knows that they are going to be with God for all eternity. Is that you? Christian is quite a label. But it's better than many other labels, than any other label. Lots of these other labels are seasonal. Fashions come and go. Teams' results come and go. Their brand becomes weaker and sometimes even disappears. But as a Christian, the brand, the mark that you have is to be a child of God. You are a child of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that we can read your word together, and we thank you, Lord, for the power that is in your word. We thank you for the assurance that you give us of what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do for all eternity. And we ask, Lord God, today that as we pray at the end of this service, for those gathered here in this place today, that you will have filled them with the assurance that you are with them, that you have given them a peace that passes all understanding, something that they just know is different in their lives, and they're realizing it today afresh, Lord. And we pray for those who have not come to terms with it, Lord. We pray today by the power of your Holy Spirit that hard hearts would be softer, that they would be broken, that they would know Jesus is alive. And Lord, as we leave this place today, going out into the world that is in front of us, we know that we will face different reactions to our faith. But we ask, Lord, that wherever we go, wherever our brothers and sisters go around the world, that they would be able to take somehow the peace that passes all understanding with them and share it. And Lord, we know a world and we see a world and we live in a world that needs that peace. In a year where we remember the 100-year anniversary of the Battle of the Somme, right in the middle of the First World War, the war, Lord, that we declared as mankind would end all wars. As we think of the atrocities and the terrible, terrible situation and the memories that has given many people, we think then of the Second World War. We think of that terrible situation in Hiroshima 71 years ago, Lord. We think of that today as the President of the United States goes over and meets some of the people who were there that day and were affected by that terrible act. We think, Lord, today of the Iraqi forces fighting the Islamic State. The many other countries in the world, Lord, where people are warring against each other. Lord, we need a real outpouring of peace in our land and in our world. And we ask that we can be agents of that, Lord. And Lord, we see so many people suffering because of war. We see those migrants in that boat, Lord. That was awful to see that this week. Those people in that boat capsizing. Going into to vessels that are not fit for the seas that they're launching into. To get away from war. and to escape economic poverty. Lord, we pray that we would have a balance of responsibility and a balance of our capability to deal with them here in our land. And Lord, we can do whatever we can to improve their situation where they're coming from, to stop them escaping the land of their birth. And Lord, as we look at all of these situations around the world, Lord, we are left with really nothing else, nothing to do but pray for the people who are in those situations. We realize too, Lord, as we meet today, that we can balance our responsibility with our own capability for the people around us. And we ask, Lord, that we would not only pray, but we would ask you to reveal to us how we can be the answer to other people's prayers. How we can leave this place today and look out for our elderly neighbors. That we can draw alongside those people who are sick. That we can go and keep them company. That we can bring them this great message and help to remind them of that great message in fellowship. That we can be of spiritual and practical help to those around us. And Lord, just as that first community of believers affected the people around them, and those people affected the people around them, all the way, Lord, that this thing called Christianity is a global phenomenon. And Lord, for us who are part of it, help us to continue to spread the good news of Jesus wherever we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish our service today by standing and singing together the words of this great hymn, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. Is he living in you today? Let's sing together to the glory of God.
Gentle Savior.
Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the presence, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit rest and remain on each of us, both now and forevermore.